is good.
Amen. This is the highlight of our week. Amen. And if it isn't, it ought to be. Praise God. It's where you get your mail from heaven. You know, that's the pastor's job, right?
Yes.
To hear from heaven and to give you what you need. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage everybody. We do have live stream on the internet, on our website, and we don't have video. We just have the audio right now. But what we do is we archive those services after. And I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week or if you didn't hear last week's service, it was a specific message for this church. You know, I spent the night in Olean last Saturday night because the weather was so bad, and we started in a hotel, so there's plenty of rooms available, and we just decided to sleep right there, and I had my message all ready to go, and as soon as I got into bed, a heaviness came into that room, and the Spirit of God gave me a message in 5 minutes, and I typed it out on my iPad here, and I came and I preached it last week, and I can't tell you, I've had several people either call me or come up to me or let me know through email or text message that message was right on the money for what they're going through. Now, that isn't, well, woohoo, Pastor Mike, good job. That's thank God that he's timely. Praise
Amen.
God. And if you weren't here, you're in part of this church, it's for you. And so I encourage you to go on the archives and listen to that message. Now, if for some reason you don't have an opportunity, if you don't have internet, you know, and you don't have a way to go on there and listen, please let me know, and I will get somebody to record that message for you so that you can hear it. The Lord was warning us about some things and just trying to keep us safe. Amen?
Amen?
So I encourage you to go listen to that. And again, don't take that lightly. If you're not able to do it on the internet, please come see me. We'll get you a CD for next week. So praise God. Well, if you have your Bible, you can open to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. I'm excited about the Word.
Amen.
You know, David said this. He said, I rejoiced at your word as one, well, the King James says, that found great spoil. One translation says, I rejoiced at your word as one who struck it rich. David was excited about the word of God. He understood that the word was a lamp unto his feet, a light into his path, that the word brought life, that the word brought, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. It's alive. It's quick, glory to God. And so I get excited about the word. Because without the Word, my life would have never changed. Amen?
Amen?
You know, in that book I tell about my testimony, I think some of my family members, their eyes are going to go, woo, you know? Like you ever seen that in cartoons where their eyes spin? You know, I had hardcore addictions and hardcore wrong living and just severe depression. And it didn't change until the Word came into my life. And I heard the Word, and I heard, wow, there's better for me. Let me just tell you, I don't care if you've been churched your whole life. I don't care if you've not been churched your whole life. I don't care if your life is going great. I don't care if you've made the biggest mistake in your life. I don't care if things are going wonderful, things are going terrible. God loves you and has got a plan for you. Amen? God's got good things for you. And every day, His mercies are new. And there's an opportunity for a fresh start with God and an opportunity to go forward in the things of God and to forgetting those things which are behind. Aren't you glad? I'm so thankful that God has permitted me to forget those things which are behind and to reach forward and press forward into the things that are before. Because what's before you is better than anything that's behind you. And you need to believe that and you need to know that. God doesn't want you living your life through the rearview mirror. God wants you living your life through the windshield. He takes us from glory to glory to glory. You say, why am I saying this? It's not in my notes. It's because people need to hear. People need to know that their tomorrow is better than their today's. People need to know that their tomorrow is better than their yesterday's. In fact, you need to know that your yesterday's do not exist anymore. The Apostle Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. The same minister who at time before was Saul of Tarsus, who wreaked havoc on the church, who dragged men and women to prison, who was responsible for killing Christians, who stood at the death of Stephen and held the coats of people that were throwing stones, and the Bible said he consented to it. That same man said, I forget those things which are behind. The Bible tells you have a legal right to forget those things which are behind and to press forward into your tomorrows. God doesn't want you bound by yesterday. God doesn't want you holding on to the past. God wants you sprinting towards the finish line and going as fast as you can. Amen? So don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil lie to you. Today's a new beginning. Glory to God. So whoever needed that, well, just thank God for it. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, every time I get into your word, even in my private time or to share it, Father, it is such an honor. Lord, because your word is you. Your word reveals who you are. Your word reveals your thoughts. Your word reveals your will on things. Your word reveals your characteristics, Father. So we thank you for the word. Now, Lord, you are way smarter than I am. You're way better than I am. And you know what every single person in this room is going through. You know every single desire, every single need, every single question they have. Father, I don't know those answers. I don't know those things. But Father, I'm asking you today that when I open my mouth, I'll speak forth as the oracles of God. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you by faith today that when I open my mouth to speak, something's going to come out of it that is going to hit everybody right in their heart. Father, they're going to walk out of here and they're going to hear it and they're going to say, that was for me. God said that through him for me. Father, I don't know how to do that on my own accord, but I know you do. So Father, I thank you for a supernatural message today. Father, I thank you that we walk out of here changed and we walk out of here blessed in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to warn you, get ready. God is going to speak to you in this service. He is going to say something to you that's going to hit you, and you're going to be sitting there thinking, that is exactly what I needed. That was for me. So it'll happen, praise God, because he's faithful. He's faithful. But can I tell you your part in it before we get to today's message? It won't just happen because the pastor said so. You need to hook your faith up with it. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 5 and verse 6, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. Or one translation says, they'll be satisfied or completely satisfied. Notice the requirements to being satisfied and the requirements to being filled are the fact that you need to hunger and thirst after it. Jesus didn't say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst that sit in church. Blessed are they which sit under a pastor who desires good things for their life. No. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have a part to play in this service. I've prayed and asked God to say something that will bless you. You need to receive that and say, okay, that's going to happen to me today. Glory to God. Lord, I'm expecting it. I'll tell you what, you hunger and thirst after righteousness and you'll be filled. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you've been with me for any amount of time, you know that we talk a lot about faith.
Right.
Why? Because you can't talk about the Bible without faith.
Right.
You can't talk about Jesus without faith. And the Bible says some amazing things about the subject of faith. It says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 that for by grace are you saved. It was God's grace and ability and mercy that he saved you. But it says for by grace are you saved through faith. Can't get saved without faith. It says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. You can't even please the Father, put a smile on his face, unless you're in faith. In 1 John 5 and verse 4 it says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith, praise God. It's in Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You can't get the promises of God unless you're a person of faith. So the Bible says a lot more about it. And the Bible says in Romans 1, it says the just shall live by faith. Praise God. And so we know faith is important. We better learn to be skillful in the area of faith. You know, a lot of people have religious thinking, and one of the things I'm so thankful that God has allowed me the platform that I have, because he knows. I told him, I said, Lord, when he spoke to my heart that I was serving at the Jamestown Church, being the parking lot attendant, had the orange vest on directing the traffic, and he's dropped it in my spirit, you'll be a pastor. And I said, Lord, I'll preach your Bible from the front to the back, and I will not be ashamed of the gospel. He knows I'm not going to sway from his word, not even one single bit. And one of the awesome things about having the platform of sharing God's word with the people of God is absolutely punching religion right between the eyes and tearing down these religious ideas and these religious stereotypes and these things that are holding people back and in bondage. For so long, Christians, the majority of the body of Christ, have taken this que sera, sera attitude. Whatever will be. Well, if God wants to be blessed, it'll happen. If God doesn't, well, it's just the sovereignty of God. Well, if good things happen in my life, God's moving in my life. If things aren't going so well, God must have changed how he was towards me. Uh-uh. Faith plays the part. Think about salvation. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. But through faith, Jesus said, for whosoever believes on him would not perish. Notice salvation doesn't fall off a tree like a ripe cherry and fall on your lap. It doesn't do that. You had to hear about Jesus and then believe. You had to put forth some faith, didn't you? It's the same way with every promise of God. Financial blessing, physical blessing, blessing in your mind, freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety. Every single one of it, you have a part to play in that. Think about all the stories where Jesus would heal somebody or a miracle would happen and Jesus would look at him and he'd say, your faith made you whole. It was your faith. He didn't say it was because of my power. It wasn't because of my sovereignty. It wasn't because I was wonderful. It's because you believed. Right. Mark chapter 9 says, nothing is impossible to him who believes. So you know what? The impossible becoming possible has nothing to do with God. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. It's his grace, his power, and his mercy. But he flows his grace, his power, and his mercy through your faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. So all things become impossible to you hinge on whether or not you have the faith. And for so long, people have been hoodwinked and blinded to think, oh, whatever will be, will be. And people don't exercise any faith. They don't exercise any going forward in God, any kind of perseverance, any kind of pressing at all. And they just expect, well, if God wants this to turn out, it'll turn out. That isn't how it works. It isn't how it worked for your salvation. Well, if God wants me saved, I'll be saved. No, he said, you got to believe. Why do we think it would work any different in other places? So we need to be skillful in the area of faith. We need to be absolutely skillful in the area of faith. And the Bible says, it tells us right here, now faith is. So we find out exactly what faith is, right, this verse. We don't have to wonder. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to look at two characteristics of faith today that will be a major blessing to your life. Number one is that faith is not hope. Faith and hope are two different things. And let me tell you something. If you're in hope and you're hoping the things that you're quote-unquote supposedly believing or putting faith for, but you're going around with the idea and the thought, I sure hope that change. I sure hope that gets better. I sure hope this situation turns out. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You're not in faith and don't expect that you'll receive from God. You say, Pastor, that is so harsh. Can I show you the Bible? Go real quickly to James chapter 1. This is the verse we left off two Sundays ago. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Praise God. Don't think if you're in hope, if you're, oh, I sure hope God does that. You ain't in faith. Oh, I sure hope that changes. Don't worry, it's not gonna. Say, Pastor, be sweet to us. It's Sunday morning. It's too early. No, no, no. You don't want sweet. You want boldness. You want the word of God. You want the truth. Listen to what it says. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, it shall be given him. So the Bible says, if you have a need in the area of wisdom, ask God for it. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And we're going to look at faith today and what not wavering is. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive anything. It's not just talking about wisdom. He's saying anything that you're going to ask God for, if you're not in faith, don't expect to receive it. And the Bible says that, go back to Hebrews 11, 1, please, Michelle. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It didn't say faith is hope. No, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I'm going to get into that and dig into that a little bit to make that more clear. But if you're walking around, man, I'm believing God my kids turn around. Man, I'm believing God that this bill gets paid. Man, I'm believing God for this thing that the doctor told me I had. And you say that, and then in your mind, you're running through your mind, I sure hope that happens. Oh, God, I sure hope that happens. You're not in faith. And don't think you'll receive anything from the Lord. People have been lied to that, oh, it'll just happen. Well, then why didn't it just happen for the children of Israel when God said, I'll give you a promised land? 2 million people were kept out of a promise. God told them in Genesis, he said, here's the promised land I give to you. Send out 12 spies in the land. Go search the land. 10 of them came back and said, oh, the land is good, but there's walls, there's cities, there's people. We can't have it. And 2 came back, right? Caleb and Joshua came back and said, we can do this. We can do this. Now, here's what I want you to see. The people did not get into faith. They wept bitterly, the Bible says, and complained and murmured to God. God didn't just say, oh, my poor people. How many of you know God loved the children of Israel? Right. He looked at the children of Israel. He didn't say to them, oh, my poor people. They're kept out of the promised land. You know what? Just because I love them and just because I'm so nice and just because I care about them so much, I'm just going to let them slide right in. 40 years they wandered and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And that generation that was promised that promised land, not one of them got in except for Caleb and Joshua. 2 people out of 2 million, the tribe of Israel was estimated to be around 2 million people. 10 people came back and swayed 2 million people that they couldn't have it. And God didn't just say, oh, go ahead. Nope. They were kept out because of doubt and unbelief. And the body of Christ will be kept out of doubt and unbelief because the book of James says, don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord unless he's in faith. See why we need to be skillful in faith? See why your pastor preaches about faith? Because the Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I'm not just trying to sound like a broken record. I have sermons for days that I could preach. It's not because I have nothing to say. It's because I'm trying to get you skillful in the area of faith. And I have conversations with people throughout the week, or I'll have meetings with people. And you can locate when somebody's not in faith. And I'll hear them say something to me. I'll say, oh, they didn't get it. They'll say, I'm hoping, or, oh, I think it'll change, or I sure hope it does. No, you're not in faith. You need to go back to school. You need to go back to school because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is not hope. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Faith is evidence. You think about this. If there's nobody in this place, and the cops came by, and a lawyer came by, and they came and they dusted off this pulpit, and they found my fingerprints here. Now, that police officer or that lawyer might have never seen me in here. Nothing to see with the natural senses. But the evidence points to the fact he was here. That's what the Bible says faith is. You can't see it, but your faith, that's the evidence. See, you're hoping for the healing. You're hoping for the thing to turn around in your life. You're hoping for the financial blessing. But when you're in faith, your faith is the substance or the evidence that that thing is coming to pass. Now, let me read it in the Amplified. This will help you. The Amplified Bible is just the original Hebrew the Old Testament was written in, and the Greek was written, or the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Amplified just amplifies those original languages. It says, now faith is the assurance, now this is what I want you to get, the confirmation or the title deed, don't forget the word title deed, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. But this is what I want you to see. The Bible says that faith, in this translation, is the title deed. You know, you all have a deed. If you own a house, you have a deed, right? That has your name on it. You own that house. You know, I can go to China, and there's no sight of the house that I own. Not even close. No proof of it. But I can pull that thing out, that title deed, and it is proof or evidence that I'm a homeowner. But Pastor, I don't see your home. I got the title deed. You don't need to see my home. Yeah. When you're in faith, I'm believing for my healing, but I don't see your healing. But my faith's got my healing. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, let me show you something here real quick. Say, well, what is my title deed? What do I have to stand on in the face? Because when I'm in China, doesn't look like I'm a homeowner. When I'm walking the streets, doesn't look like I'm a homeowner. But when I pull out the title deed, there's proof that I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it says this here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Michelle, are you okay? Need hands laid on you? You feeling okay? Come here, let's pray for your headache. The Bible says in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Why wait till the end of service? No reason to sit through the whole service. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her head. Heal her body right now and may it be a sign, Father. We thank you. The symptoms of the pain go now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just sit down and thank him for it and it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. Say, that's weird. What was that all about? Well, Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I just love Michelle and I don't want to see her sitting there in pain anymore. Why wait till the end of service to do something we can do right now? Hallelujah. Praise God. So the Bible says that the word, you say, man, that's weird, but I'll tell you what, we've had testimonies of people. Alice got healed of a tooth problem in the Trillium Lodge parking lot. Glory to God. She said, my tooth's hurting, Pastor Mike. Well, praise God, let's pray for it. And God, power hit her, and we can go on and on with testimonies from this place. So we just believe the word works. Hallelujah. God's in the healing business back then. He's in the healing business now. Why do people think that God's not in the healing business? The Bible says he healed. Jesus went about all the cities and villages preaching and healing all that were sick. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. And the Bible says in 1 John that Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Glory to God. And I don't understand. People say, well, that was Bible times. Well, my Bible doesn't have an expiration date. Amen. And my Bible says Jesus Christ, the same. Everybody say the same.
The same.
Yesterday, yep. Today, and forever. He never changes. The only difference is he's not here to do the laying of the hands anymore. But his hands and feet are. Glory to God. You wait. You wait when people start getting a taste of this around this area, that God's power is working in this place. You wait. You just wait and see what's going to happen here. Glory to God. Mark my words. Because people are going to be hungry for the real thing. For so long, church has been so dead and so boring. And people hear about all these mighty moves of God in the Bible. And they hear about all these mighty moves of God in the old time. Listen, I'm sick and tired of hearing about it from other people. I want it for my life. I want it for my church. Psalms 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see. Not just hear about through somebody else. Not just, oh, be nice. No, taste and see. You experience God's goodness. Well, the goodness of God is healing, it's prosperity, it's victory, it's joy, it's peace. It's about time the body of Christ starts experiencing the goodness of God instead of reading about it and talking about it. Wow, interesting service today. Praise God. Just kind of hitting on everything. Some of y'all been praying for utterance because it's just coming out. Praise God. But anyways, what is your title deed? When you have that thing on your body, and if we know it takes faith to receive, what is your title deed that absolutely can have you convinced that even though your body is just so loud, even though your checkbook is so loud and your bills are stacked so high and they're so loud, and even though your kids are off serving the devil and it's so loud, and situations and circumstances are so loud, even those things are so loud, what is your title deed? The Word. The Word is your title deed. The Word is what says you can be blessed when naturally you're not. The Word is what says you can be healed. That is your faith. You rest that on that. What is my confirmation? The Word says I can. Hallelujah. But faith isn't hope. And if you're hoping, you need to get out of hope and you need to get out of into faith. How do I get into faith? You need to get in the Word. We talked about this last night in Olean about submitting yourself to the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. If you need faith for healing, you need to get in the Word for healing. If you need faith for finances, you need to get in the Word and find what the Bible says about you being blessed. And soak it up to the point where you believe it. You know, faith looks like something. Faith talks. You can say you're in faith. Man, I'll talk to you for 5 minutes and find out you're not in faith. Faith has a look. It has a smile. Faith has a shout. Faith has a walk. Faith doesn't look like this. You know, the Eeyore spirit. Oh, how's it going? Oh, believe in God. Oh, really? Really? You don't look like you're in faith. And I'm going to tell you a story today about how your pastor got upended and corrected by God in a tree stand. In a tree stand, hunting. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to show you that in a second here. But the Word is your title deed to healing, all those things. But the second thing I want you to see about that verse in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is. And what I want you to see is that when you're in Bible faith, and what I mean by Bible faith is when you're believing God for something in your life that doesn't line up to what the Word says you can have, the Bible says that faith is now. Now. Faith is not, well, when it shows up, I'll get happy. When it shows up, I'll believe it. This is where we need to be skillful in these areas, and I'm going to show you in the Word. Faith now. I love he puts now in there. He says faith is now. Now faith is. Praise God. Do you know what faith says? Because it's now. Faith says I have what I'm believing for in my possession right now. I can't see it in the natural, and it hasn't manifested in the natural, but faith says I have it now. You say, Pastor, that is backwards and crazy, and you have lost your mind. Well, then God has lost his mind, and he's backwards and crazy because that's how God does it. And I'll show you that's how God does it. Don't believe me. Don't take anything I say. Go to Mark 11 and verse 24. Praise God. I knew it was going to be interesting. I didn't know it was going to be this interesting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. How's your headache, Michelle? Any better? Praise the Lord. She was in tears. Just struggling. What did you say? It's what? Gone. Praise God. Just give the Lord praise for that. Because we got to make sure, don't put the healer's not the one that laid the hands. Take your focus off the person that laid the hands. The healer's the one that infused the power through the hands. She's over there in tears. In 3 years, have I ever stopped a service in mid-service to lay hands? Never have. We have people who have been with me from day one. I've never done it. But I don't want to see people suffering anymore. Praise God. And it's gone, and it'll stay gone. Glory to God. Mark 11 and verse 24. Now, you want to know what faith is and how God works? Look at verse 24. It says, therefore I say unto you, now this is Jesus talking, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Praise God for this verse. This verse tells us that we can pray and that things will actually show up in our lives that weren't there. That's awesome. Because when you're believing for your children and they're living like the devil, you can believe, God, that a change is coming. When your finances look like hell on earth, you can pray for provision and believe, God, and it'll show up. When there's sickness on your body, you can pray for healing and it will actually change. Jesus said, "You, if you believe that you receive them, you'll have them." Notice what he said. What things soever you desire. Well, God doesn't want me to have this. God doesn't want me to have that. Stop with the religious thinking. He wants you to have every single thing he said you could have in his word. Or not one thing. Listen, when I pray to God, I pray with boldness. I tell him, Lord, with all due respect, I said, you shouldn't have put it in there if you didn't mean it. If you didn't mean that you would meet all my needs. Now, he said that in Philippians 4:19. When I get a bill that I can't pay, unexpected thing, or something all of a sudden comes up, had one of those things happen this week, just something all of a sudden came up. So I go to the Lord, I say, Father, you know, you said in Philippians 4:19 that you'd supply and meet all my needs. No, I didn't say that. You said that. I didn't put that in there. You put that in there. Now, Father, you wouldn't have put something in. This is how I talk with him. Father, you wouldn't have put something in there that you didn't mean. So, Father, I thank you that this need is met because you said it was. Yeah, that's how you get it done. Glory to God. That's not being disrespectful. Listen, if I tell my son, buddy, Friday we're going to the zoo, he has every single right, every single day that week, saying, Daddy, I can't wait to go to the zoo with you Friday. Why? I said it to him. He has a right to believe his dad. I have a right to believe my dad. Glory to God. Anyways, Mark 11:24, we're going to learn about this here. You want to know the whole crux of the whole thing? He said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. That's easy for us. When you're sick, you have a desire to be healed. When you're broke, you have a desire for provision. It's not, you don't even have to try to work that up. You don't even have to try to stir up a desire to be healed or provision. It's just a natural thing, you know? So that's one part on your end. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, that's not hard to release your faith and talk to God. But here's the crux of the whole thing in this verse. The whole thing that separates you from actually seeing the desires that you have in your heart coming to pass in your life is this next statement. What things soever you desire. You ready?
Yes.
Don't forget this. When you pray. Now, see, here's the thing. When you're in that place of prayer for healing or for provision or for whatever your circumstance is, when you pray that, guess what? That thing is still there.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you have ever prayed and instantly, it's a very rare thing, I pray for my finances, I log into MNT.com and woohoo, more money. Doesn't work like that. How many people, you're believing God for something in your body, and instantly, now we thank God for those things when they happen. But majority of the time, God wants you to exercise faith. And so what I'm saying is he's telling you that when you pray, believe you receive it. So he's telling you, see, people need to get this. It's going zoop right over people's head, and I just know by my spirit, you need to get this. When you pray, believe you receive. See, we've been doing it backwards, and we want to believe we receive it when it shows up. No, God is telling you, if you want this verse to work, you have to believe you receive it when you pray it, which means it's not there. You don't see it. It's not in the natural. You have to believe you receive it the same way that you'd believe it when it shows up on your front door. He says, if you want to have, because he says, and you shall have them. You can't have the and you shall have them until you pray and believe you received it when you prayed it. Are you ready for me to tell on myself?
Yeah.
Are you excited about that? We always like it when other people are getting in trouble.
Yeah.
It's always best when other people are getting in trouble. I've had a lot of faith victories in my life. You know, I tell this testimony because we do have new people. 3 years ago, the Lord told me, it was 4 years ago, in September of 2009, I was working cherry orchards for Jim Walker. He's here. You might not be able to see him. He's a little short. Now, here's the thing. Now, before you think, man, Pastor, that's mean. Listen, we do this to each other all the time. But he knows that when he gets me in front of people, I say, Jim, that's okay. You can pick on me. I got a much bigger platform where I can just tell people in the whole church to know. So praise the Lord. He knows I'm kidding, but working for them. I'm not kidding. He knows I'm not kidding, actually. And we love each other. Hallelujah. We love being short. Praise God. And I was working there, and the Lord told me to start a church in South Dayton in September of 2010. I said, okay. So my wife heard the same thing in prayer. Y'all know that story if you've been here. But when he did, he told me to quit my full-time job and stay home with my brand-new baby, which I had no idea how to take care of a baby. I said, for my wife to keep her job for 2 years. For the majority of 2 years, I went with on one income. And we were $1,200 to $2,000 short every single month. Every single month of just paying our bills. And I knew I better learn faith real fast. Because God's not just going, oh, I feel so bad for you, son. You're pastor at a church. Here's money out of heaven. God doesn't do it that way. He wants faith. I said, I better learn faith. So I learned faith. I learned it real fast. I got in the Word real strong. Because I'll tell you what, my eyes were woken up when I had a baby. It wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about my selfish man. When I had that little boy in my arms, I was like, holy cow, things have changed now. I have greater responsibility. And so I better learn faith, and I better learn it now, or this family's going to sink. So we learn faith. And I say that to say I've had amazing financial testimonies, amazing physical testimonies, miracles with this church in this area. Just God has been so faithful. Faith really does work.
Amen.
But the one thing that has eluded me, the one, now you're going to laugh, because it's in the grand scheme of life, it's not that big of a deal, but to me it is. The one thing that my faith has not been able to get a hold of is my trophy buck. Yeah. That one that's on Lyle's shirt right there, that one keeps eluding me right there. Now, you might say that's silly and that's foolish. No, listen to me. The Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart. That's a desire of mine. And you know what? People are like, oh, pastor, there's much more. There's people starving in Africa. Yeah, well, what does me wanting a buck have to do with people starving in Africa? Nothing. God loves me just like I love my children. I don't want just my children. Oh, Caleb, you have just enough clothes, and I just want you to have just one toy just to get by. And no, I want my kids blessed. I care about them. What do you like, son? What do you enjoy? Nothing makes me more happy than to take him to Walmart and have him get a toy and have him be so thrilled with that toy that he's walking with it and he can't even see because it's right in front of his face and he's banging into people and he's banging into stuff because he's so thrilled with that. Daddy doesn't look at that and say, oh, that makes me so mad that my son is so happy about that. No, it just does my heart so good. It does God's heart so good when he can bless you. Religion has taught us, no, God's not interested in that. God already proved to you how special you were to him. He gave you his son. Why do you think he's holding back anything from you? He already demonstrated he'll give it all to you. Praise God. So anyways, the one thing that's... Now, I've killed deer. I was telling somebody, I've killed 7 deer this year, and it's been the most deer I've killed. I've had other years where I've killed 6, and I've killed bucks before. But I'm talking, I want the buck of all bucks. I mean, one that you have to put that baby on the wall, like one of those bucks. And I believe God for it, at least so I thought it was. And... this has been going on now since I started hunting again in 2001, I believe. So we're talking, what, 12 years that this has not come to pass. It's starting to really frustrate me because there's not one other thing in my life. I can honestly tell you there's not one other thing in my life that I've never believed God for and haven't gotten. I can tell you that I've only lied one time from the pulpit, and that's when I predicted that the Bills would beat the Steelers. And the only reason I did that is because we had she's not here today. Remember, Tori, she showed up in her Pittsburgh Steeler gear that made me mad. And so I said, oh, they're going to beat you today. I didn't mean it. I lied right from the pulpit. That's the only lie I've ever told. I can tell you the truth. I've never not gotten any prayer of mine answered except for this trophy buck. And I'm in the tree stand. And the Lord just, I mean, he upends me and he corrects me and spanks me hard. You know, spankings are good things. It's not the things you're doing right that are hurting you. It's the things you're doing wrong. And the Lord says, so this is a conversation in my spirit. I said, he talks to me the way that I understand it. Very sarcastic. He says, so you think you're a faith preacher, huh? I said, sure do. Why aren't you in faith over this buck? I said, I am. He said, why do you come out here every single time you hunt and sit on the edge of that seat just clinging to hope that buck comes through? And then at the end of the night when it doesn't come through, your hopes are shattered. And you walk away after another season, and you're so sad and so depressed. He said, if you really believed that you received it when you prayed for it, what are you waiting for? What are you looking for? Why are you always just, oh, it's going to come, it's going to come. If you already received it when you prayed, you'd go out there hunting knowing, I already got my big buck.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a natural, the people say that's backwards. No, that's how God does it. He says, you think you're in faith over your buck. See, I would hold that little boy when we were $1,200 to $2,000 short every month, and I would say, Father, I thank you. I have more than enough money. And we never went without. And I believed it before I ever had it. I believed it the moment I said it. Father, I thank you. I have more than enough money. I remember walking in with that appendix thing I had, just doing everything I could to get out of bed and walk around. I was not supposed to get out of bed. I had to do it in secret. I had to turn the little leg monitor thing off so it wouldn't ring when I get out of bed and they'd know it was getting out of bed, because I wanted to show my body and show the devil, you ain't keeping me down. And I got up in that bed and just walked. Said, Father, thank you. By his stripes, I'm healed. Now, when I said that, I wasn't, and I was sicker than a dog. But I'll tell you what, I believed it with every ounce of my body that I had it. And it came to pass. I said my body wouldn't be right for a year. It was better within weeks. And it's the same way with this buck thing. He said, he was telling me, you sit on the edge of your seat. And I started to think about, holy cow, he's right. I haven't been in faith over this at all. He said, why do you get discouraged when it doesn't happen? If you already received it, what are you discouraged about? Why are you unhappy? And people say, well, it's because you haven't got it. No, but God says you need to believe that you got it. If you really want to see that buck show up, Mike, you need to believe that you got it now. You need to rejoice. And you know what I did? I said, okay, God, you want to play games? We'll play games. I said, I'll do things your way. And I said, Father, it was November 21st. I said, I have a desire to shoot a big buck. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus for a buck. And I gave him a certain score I want the buck to be and what I want it to look like. I said, I'm believing you for it, and I'm asking you for it. And I believe I receive it right now. And I started rejoicing, and I wrote it down. I said, November 21st, and I think I wrote down the time. I said, I received my big buck, and I also threw a bear in there. Because I want to kill a bear, too. People think, it's so hard. I need a car, and I also need clothes, but I better not ask God for too much. He's God. He's God. He paves his streets, the things your dirty, smelly feet walk on, with gold. He's God. What you have in your life is not too big for him. It's not too hard for him. It's not all over his head and out of his ability. No, he's God, and he loves you. A bear's not a problem. So I threw a bear in there, and I started rejoicing. I said, man, what would it be like? And I started picturing myself walking up to the deer and what it would be like to pick that thing up and hold that rack. I said, man, Lord, I'd be praising and excited. He said, if you received it now, you do it now. And I did. I said, Lord, I thank you for this big buck. Well, this is just, and I believe that I received it. So I'm here to tell you that on November 21st, it ain't on my wall yet, but on November 21st of 2013, your pastor received his buck and bear, and you watch. It'll come to pass, because now I'm in faith, and I've hunted since then, and I'm not on the edge of my seat just, oh, I hope it comes. I don't have to hope it came. It already came November 21st. It already came. Say, this is so backwards. Well, if you keep thinking it's backwards, you won't get into Bible faith. And I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with this to help you, to explain the word to you on this. Because that seems backwards. It seems hard to understand. And we'll close with these scriptures. Go to Genesis 17. I was taught long ago, you can't preach longer that the heart can't receive any more than the hind end can endure. So I'm not trying to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. We're almost done, praise God. Hallelujah. I learned that. People start turning you off, but don't turn me off yet. Genesis 17. This will help you. You wait and see. And you say, well, what if it doesn't come this year? I don't care. I've already got it. You're missing the point. I've already got my big buck. I already got my trophy bear. I already received them in prayer. They're already mine. It's done. Ain't nobody can tell me different. You say, why don't I know? That's a little bit too hard to swallow. Well, listen to how your Heavenly Father does it. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Because I know you're all believing for things. You better get into Bible faith, or you'll go 11 years. You'll go 12 years and wonder, where in the heck is it? See, you're not wondering where the heck it is when you've already received it. Got to renew your mind to how God does things. He does things different than we do things. Genesis 17 and verse 1 says, and when Abram, now listen to this, Abram was 90 years old and 9, he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and with you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to them, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Now, this is what's awesome. Neither shall your name anymore be called Abram. God's changing his name right now. And you need to get the reason God changed his name. He says, but your name shall be Abraham. We think, well, God changed his name. That's nice. But you got to understand something. In those cultures, meanings of names were huge. They had importance. And what did Abraham mean? You think God just all of a sudden said, you know what? I'm going to find a baby book, and I'm going to flip through the A section, and I don't want to change his name too much. Oh, Abraham sounds nice. No. God knew what Abraham meant. He said, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Now listen to what God says here. God has not fell off his rocker. He's not lost his mind. He says, for a father of many nations. Now I might have lost my reading glasses here, but does it say, a father of many nations, I will make you.
No.
Father of many nations you'll be when Isaac is finally born. God is telling a 99-year-old man who the Bible said his wife was 90 and that her womb was as good as dead. He's telling him, your name is now Abraham, which means you are right now a father of many nations. Now, he had a son, but it wasn't with Sarah. And the name was Ishmael. We're not talking about Ishmael. God said, I'm going to make my covenant between you and Isaac, between me and you and Isaac, not Ishmael. Abraham tried to do it his own way and got into trouble. God said, you did it wrong. Let's get back to the drawing board here. Yeah. I'm going to give you a son. Remember? Told him that.
Yeah.
And now he says, I want to tell you, Abraham. Abram, your name's now Abraham, which means you are a father of many nations. Not you will be a father of many nations. A father of many nations. I have right now made you. What is God doing? He's looking at a man who's 99 years old with a wife of 90 and saying, you're a daddy.
Yeah.
You are a daddy. You're missing the point. You are a daddy. Not you're going to be when Isaac is born. Not when Sarah starts showing the baby bump. You are right now a father of many nations. Why? Last verse, Romans 4 and verse 17, and we'll close. You know, I don't have a big buck on my wall, but I'll tell you right now what I am. I am a big buck magnet. I am a big buck killer. Big bucks fear me. Say, that naturally isn't right. I'm not living in the natural anymore.
Right.
Just the same way. When we were that much, now when I say $1,200 to $2,000, I'm not talking about our debts. I'm talking about bills we had coming in. I tried to get a third shift job and God said, don't you dare, it'll hurt the church. I'm not talking about anything else but bills. I wasn't talking about food for Caleb, provision for Caleb, any recreation, any miscellaneous things that come up. So sometimes it was more than $2,000 a month. But you know what I would walk around that house saying? I'm debt-free. I have more than enough. I increase. I have all I could ever want. I'm full to the brim. When I was in the most poverty and in the most debt I ever was in my life, I pranced around that house saying, I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Yeah, it came to pass. Why? Because in Romans 4:17 it says, as it is written, this is talking about the story of Abraham and his son, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now here's what I want you to get at the end of this verse. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He called Abraham a daddy, even though in the natural there was no sign of it. No sign of it at all. But God says, you know how I do things? I call things that aren't as though they were. The Amplified will help you understand. It says, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father. In the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. Now here it is. And speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. If you're believing for healing, you need to get those verses in you. And I don't care how bad your body's acting up. I don't care what the doctor's saying. You need to stand there and say, I am, not I'm going to be, I am the healed of the Lord. I am by his stripes, I am healed.
Hallelujah.
Say, I can't do that. That's crazy. You'll go without one.
Right.
Because
right.
Stop thinking you can do it your way.
Right.
Stop trying to buck the system. Just do it God's way. If you're believing for financial provision, you need to start saying, I am blessed, I am rich, I have more than enough, my debts are completely paid. Yeah, it's true. That's how this stuff works. Oh, if I could just get it over to people and across to people. Praise God. Well, I think you've endured enough today. Praise God. Hallelujah. What was good anyways, wasn't it? Change your life. Things that have changed my life. Principles to live by. The Word of God. Faith. Amen. God, glory to God. And you know what Abraham did? He didn't walk around saying, oh, yeah, right. The Bible says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What was he doing? He was going around saying, I'm a daddy. Yeah. Praise God, I'm having a son. Praise God, I'm a father. Yes. That's what he was doing, and it came to pass. Amen?
Amen.
I would encourage you to do this as I shut this off to prove to you that I'm really done. I would encourage you to go on the archives or to re-go over your notes over and over again. If you think you got it in one sitting, you didn't. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You need to get this stuff so it's so real on the inside of you. Amen? And you need to meditate on this and put this in your heart. Hallelujah. Father, let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Father, we're just so grateful for your word and for the light that it brings to us. Father, you're not happy when things in our life don't line up with the word. But Father, also you can't violate your word and just reach down your hand and just manipulate the situation. That's not how it works. But Father, you gave us the great circumstance manipulator called faith. The force of faith is able to change and remove mountains. The force of faith is able to cause things that were non-existent to become existent. Things that weren't there will appear, praise God, because that's how you do it, Father. And we thank you for that knowledge. We thank you for that revelation this morning. Father, we thank you our lives will never be the same. Father, we laugh about that buck, but Father, you know it's something that has troubled me for years. It's something that I just have not been able to figure out. Why is there one thing? It's because I wasn't in faith. But Father, we know how to be in faith now. So Lord, whatever's troubling us, whatever situations we have in our life that don't line up with the word, Father, I thank you that we start attacking them with faith. I thank you that we start doing it your way. We get the word in us, and that's our title deed. That's our assurance that we will see the outcome. And Father, we'll believe. We'll release our faith, and we'll believe it like we would if it would show up at our front doorstep. We'll rejoice. We'll talk like we got it. We'll believe that we got it. We won't be looking for it. We'll be looking back to when we got it when we prayed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If I could have heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question if you're either in this building or if you're listening to my voice by live stream. If today were your last day on planet Earth, would you go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't a 100% yes, my goodness, get off the fence of eternity. Jesus made it so simple. He said in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Notice the stipulations to being saved, calling on the name of Jesus. If you're here, if you're listening to my voice, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and that he rose again from the dead, the Bible says if you believe on him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to have anybody come to the front. We're not going to have anybody stand up and say anything on their own. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know for sure that you're going to heaven, if there's anybody in this building that's never made that commitment. Now listen, it doesn't matter if you've gone to church your whole life. Church attendance doesn't get you into heaven. Well, I've been a good person. That does not get you into heaven. Jesus would have died for nothing if our works got us into heaven. But if you want to receive Jesus and know for sure once and for all, I don't care if you're 90, I don't care if you're 10. If you've never done it, you need to accept Jesus and do it the Bible's way. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus you never have before, would you just raise your hand in there? Is there anybody that's never received the Lord that you want to know for sure that you're going to heaven? Praise God, I don't see any hands. I don't know everybody personally in here, so I'd like to give the invitation. But I don't know everybody that might be listening by live stream. So if you're listening, you say, man, that's me. I've never accepted Jesus. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to do so. The Bible says call on his name. Just simply pray this prayer, but when you do, don't just say it. Mean it with all your heart. Just say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart. And then thank him for saving you. And then let us know you prayed that, and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church, and you can start walking to all the good things that he has for you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we dismiss, of course, we're going to do communion. And if I could, brother, if you want to come in and start passing out the elements to people, praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Corinthians 11. is where we find communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start in verse 23. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? Amen. He's so good. Praise the Lord. We'll wait for the ushers to come back with the elements. Praise God. He is so faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, sir. You guys can just go ahead and pass them out. Thank you. I think it's important to remember what Jesus did for us. You know, we celebrate on Easter and we think about Christmas when he came, but man, something about Thanksgiving made me just decide that, oh man, we need to do this and thank the Lord for what he did for us. Praise God. You know, one thing that'll help your faith grow is stopping to think about what God did for you through Jesus. It was a declaration, or the Bible says he demonstrated his love for us. He proved it to us by sending his only son. And you know, when you start to think, man, the Lord doesn't want me blessed, or does the Lord really care about my life, man, he showed it in the highest fashion, and the greatest thing he ever did was give you Jesus. And so don't forget that, and you need to meditate on that. And just because things are going bad and you're in a trial doesn't mean God's forgotten about you. That, you know, that's why the Bible says you're an overcomer, or you're more than a conqueror. You can't be an overcomer and more than a conqueror if you don't have anything to overcome. If you don't have anything to conquer, you wouldn't need faith, praise God. So don't be alarmed when you have a trial. It doesn't mean God's forgot about you. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It just means it's time to use what I've been taught, praise God. So hallelujah. Let's look in the Word here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we know that the bread represents the body of Christ, which was broken for us. Amen? And thank God that it was. So at this time, everybody take your bread and let's break it and let's eat as the way they did it back then. Thank you, Father, so much for your body that was broken for us. Went through such misery. You went through such pain. And you did that because we were on your mind. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that. You know, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about Jesus on the cross. And it said that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise Jesus. Not because he was a bad father, but because he knew bruising Jesus would be for your benefit. And that's how much God loved you. Praise God. In verse 25, he said, "And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." So, of course, we know that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins. Aren't you glad? You could be forgiven. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and let's drink. Father, we thank you for that blood that was shed for us. Father, we weren't purchased with silver or gold, but Father, we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus, the greatest payment. No higher payment has ever been paid for anything. We thank you for that blood. Father, we love you today. We praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And one last thing before we close. If anybody would need hands laid on them for anything in their body, that they're going through any sickness at all, if you want hands laid on, the Bible says in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Love to lay hands on you and pray for you. Anybody at all? Going once? Praise the Lord. Going twice? All right. Father, we thank you again for this day, what's been given to us and what we've experienced. We thank you. We'll put these principles into play and we'll be changed and never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome rest of the week. Pass your cups to the center aisle, and the usher will come through and get those. You are dismissed. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.